One of the key liberties of importance to the founders of America is the right of conscience. James Madison, a key architect of the U.S. Constitution, spoke highly of what he called, quote, the equal right of every citizen to the free exercise of his religion according to the dictates of his conscience, end quote. But fast forward to today, where political correctness often rules much of the day. After the Supreme Court decision of 2015 in favor of same-sex marriage, many magistrates, including justices of the peace or judges, were being pressured to perform same-sex weddings against their consciences. Liberty Institute, founded by Kelly Shackelford, fights for religious liberties across America. One of the cases they are involved in now involves a judge in Texas who faces punishment for having recused herself from being forced to perform a same-sex wedding against her conscience and the like. Hiram Sasser is the executive general counsel for First Liberty Institute. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Hiram Sasser joins us now. Hiram, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So tell us about this case, and does it indeed involve conscience rights, and what did the founders think about conscience rights? You just go ahead and wax eloquent. I'm going to sit down and listen.
Well, sure. Well, here's the with how this case really got started is that, you know, the Judicial Ethics Commission told all the judges across the state of Texas that if they did not want to perform same-sex marriages after the Obergefell decision, they would have to perform no marriages at all. And that's what most of the judges actually did, especially in the rural areas. And Judge Hensley, though, her office just happens to be right near where people would pull their marriage licenses to get married. And also, Waco, Texas is not that far away from Fort Hood. And so there's military folks that would come through. And there were some people that were there begging the judge and the judge's office, please, you know, do a marriage before, you know, somebody before they deployed and other things like that. And she just felt like she's got to come up with some way to be able to honor her faith and also serve the community. And so what she decided to do was to go out and find someone nearby who would do same-sex marriages. She found somebody just a few blocks away, had an agreement with that person would not charge any more than the court charged for a marriage. And so if anyone came in who was a same-sex couple, they could be referred to someone who could, so they could get a marriage within just the same amount of time and the same cost as Judge Hensley would provide, so that she could maintain her faith and also provide a service to the community, so she could do the marriages of a lot of the people that were coming in that really wanted them done. And that worked out just fine. Nobody complained, but the Ethics Commission said, nope, that's not good enough. We're going to, you know, come after you and try to reprimand you in order to try to make it where it's you have to do all or none. So it's so awful that here she was trying to serve her community. Here she is trying to make sure that she's honoring her faith and also trying to honor the law and trying to honor everybody across all spectrums as best as that she can. And she had a great system that was working for everybody. But for whatever reason, the Ethics Commission decided that they wanted to try to make an example of her and punish her because she had come up with this solution. And so this case is really not just about conscience rights. It's about, can you come up with a solution where everybody's happy, but is the government going to let it go, or do they have to force you to get into this situation where either you will do, you will violate your faith, or you'll just, you know, leave town, essentially, like don't not participate in whatever it is. And it's just I guess, you know, and the thing that really frustrated me is that the Ethics Commission seemed to think that it was better to tell the same-sex couple, you know, no, I'm not doing your marriage because, I'm not doing any marriages because of people like you. I mean, they seem to think that's okay. But Judge Hensley comes along and says, hey, I have a religious objection, but I want to make sure that I'm respecting you and providing you the service that you would like. So I've arranged for someone just a few blocks away. Here's the address. They will be able to do the marriage within the same cost and the same time frame. And the reason why they were doing the same cost, by the way, is Judge Hensley offered to pay the difference, but that particular provider said no, they would reduce their fees. So here's someone who would want to try to reach out to the community. I will pay the difference. But that none of that was good enough. Because the entire objective of the Ethics Commission was basically to force all the judges to have to do same-sex marriages against their conscience. And it's just terrible that we can't, in a country full of a lot of different people with a lot of different opinions, why would we punish someone who came up with a way that would actually honor everybody? You know, and our founders really understood religious conscience. You know, no one goes around making the rabbi eat bacon. It's just silliness, right? And it's silliness to try to tell the Islamic person, I'm sorry, but you know, you can't wear your hijab to school. I mean, we make accommodations. And look, one of our earliest Supreme Court justices, Justice Story, he wrote about in his commentaries to the Constitution, he wrote very specifically that, yes, we're a Christian nation, but we're also a nation with lots of other religious beliefs, and they all receive protection under the Free Exercise Clause. And that's how we all can live together in at peace. It's that mutual respect and accommodation of each other and our needs and our religious convictions. And we don't go around trying to make people violate their religious convictions just to make some sort of political point.
You know, Hiram,
the commission was doing here.
Right. And Hiram, I there are so many situations, you know, where I followed these different stories, especially for my full-time work here at D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we've done interviews with people. I remember going up and interviewing a printer. This happened to be in Canada, but, similar culture in many ways. And he was a conscientious printer, and the left was trying to essentially bankrupt him because he declined to print up some sort of gay flyer because it violated his conscience, but he freely shared with the people that, you know, wanted this gay flyer or whatever it was, a poster or something. He said, listen, this printer across the street, they'll be happy to help you. This other one down the street. Oh, no, we want you. And, you know, it's just like the guy, the Colorado baker, it's like the left can't, you know, rest until they basically bankrupt these people. I don't get it. It's just a form of just like a witch hunt or something.
Yeah, well, there's no greater state interest in the preservation of the state itself, right? And that's why that's what would compel the draft. And we all understood the draft. You know, everybody's got to serve in the armed forces back when we had a draft in order to protect, you know, freedom for us all. But we still allow conscientious objectors, people who said, look, I have a religious conviction that precludes me from military service in that way. And no one was going around making the conscientious objectors serve in the armed forces. And we've had conscientious objectors since the founding. And so the left, by the way, they would applaud that because that's an objection to something that they also, you know, have an objection to, which is, you know, in many cases, military service. But, you know, so the left would applaud the printer for not wanting to print the like a racist pamphlet. which, you know, it's all the same principle. It's just that the left wants to make you carry their messages, and they'll applaud you for having a conscientious objection to carrying messages they don't like. But here's the deal. There's lots of messages out there, and some of us like them and some of us don't. And I think we need to cut each other some slack and say, look, you know, if I want to go to the print shop, for example, as you pointed out, and they don't want to print my Christian flyer, okay, there's plenty who do. And if there's some that don't want to print the promotion of the Pride event or whatever, that's fine. There's plenty who do. Like, we don't have to make each other do stuff we don't like. We can all live together in an appropriate way.
Okay, so where does this case stand? Has it gone to court or trial, or will it one day, or just tell us about it?
Well, it's currently right now at the Texas Supreme Court, and we're waiting on a decision from the Supreme Court justices of whether they're going to keep this rule in Texas, which is you have to do all marriages or none, or allow people like Judge Hensley to be able to make sure they're accommodating everybody but still hold their religious convictions.
Now, as far as the Ethics Commission, what is their beef? I mean, and by the way, are they based in Austin? Is that part of the problem here?
Well, they are based in Austin. They kind of have a diverse membership. They were not unified on this. But at the end of the day, you know, it's just that sort of secularist mindset of, you know, we're just going to make everybody do it the way we want it done. And that's it. And just making no provision for people of faith to have, you know, again, like I said, Judge Hensley should be they should have been applauding her for coming up with this solution. And instead, they just want to punish her.
You know, Anthony Kennedy, a retired Supreme Court justice, is the one who wrote the Obergefell same-sex marriage decision in 2015. And he even said in that decision, he said, now, nobody should take this decision in any way to curtail religious liberty, something to that effect. But of course it does. Of course it does, because there are many people of, you know, Christian convictions who say, no, this is wrong biblically.
Well, Justice Scalia said basically in his dissent he didn't really believe Justice Kennedy, and I think Justice Kennedy meant what he said. I just think that he was probably a little naive in understanding that people are just going to go crazy with this and try to force people to agree. And at the end of the day, It's so much better to live in a country where we can have disagreements and then go out and have a burger and fries without having to, like, force each other to believe what each other, to try to change everybody's minds. Just, you know, let people believe what they want to believe and carry on and leave people of faith alone. We're not asking for anything other than to be left alone. And yet, you know, for some reason, they have a problem with that.
How is First Liberty doing as far as your cases? It seems like you guys seem to win quite often.
Yeah, you know, this is a weird time in which, you know, there's more attacks on religious liberty than ever before. And yet we're winning most of our cases when we go fight them at the courthouse. So the way I take it is that, look, there's a lot of attacks on religious liberty. But if people will just stand up and say, look, we're not going to tolerate this. And in a civilized way, you know, either, you know, we send a demand letter, or we file a lawsuit, you know, we follow Paul's example, you know, we appeal to Caesar, and, you know, and we're winning. And so people just need to be able to stand up and just say, look, I'm not going to take this anymore. I'm going to use the process the founding fathers set up through our courts to be able to challenge this in an appropriate way and say, we're just not going to do this anymore.
All right, Hiram Sasser, we're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us. FirstLiberty.org for more information. All the best, Hiram.
All right, thank you.